My Life in Christ, Book 2, starting from page 272. My servant Job shall pray for you, Abraham shall pray for thee, Moses, Samuel, Elijah. Job, Genesis, Jeremiah, Kings, Psalms. The prayers of the saints for us are pleasing unto God as coming from his faithful servants. The devil continually lies against God in our hearts, especially in respect to God's omnipresence, saying, God has forgotten, he hides away his face. Also, in respect to his justice, God careth not for it. Also, even in respect to his existence, there is no God. God desires us that we should continually turn to him in prayer in order to draw to himself his children who have become hardened by sin and have withdrawn themselves from him, in order to cleanse us and enfold us in the embrace of his love, in order to show us that he always has some blessing for us. Thus also do good parents act towards their evil-natured children. When you hear that God speaks, then represent to yourself his word as deed, indeed already accomplished, or being accomplished, or about to be accomplished. Prayer is the living water by means of which the soul quenches its thirst. When you pray, represent to yourself as though God alone were before you, God in three persons, and besides him, no one else. Represent to yourself that God is the word and the soul of is in the body. Though life is infinitely higher than the word, and it is not limited by it. Your body is small, and it is wholly penetrated by your small soul. The world is large, but God is infinitely great and fills everything throughout the whole of creation, who is everywhere present and fills all things. Prayers to the Holy Ghost. What is the meaning of the appearance of the three strangers to Abraham? It means that the Lord, in three persons, as though continually travels over the earth and watches over everything that it is done on it, and that he himself comes to those in his service who are watchful and attentive to themselves and their salvation, and who seeks him, staying with them and conversing with them as with friends. We will come unto him and make our abode with him, whilst he sends fire upon the ungodly, as he did upon the Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord is so merciful that he never disdains our prayer, but mercifully accepts it and corrects its imperfection, providing only that we turn to him sincerely and do not entirely forget him. We preachers have only to assist the action of God upon the hearts of men, to seize their inclination for repentance and to strengthen it. The word of God is the same as God himself. Therefore, undoubtedly believe every word of the Lord. The word of God is deed, and your own word should be deed. Therefore also during prayer our words ought to be deed and truth, and not falsehood, hypocrisy, and flattery. Apply this to your whole life. Great is the dignity of man as the image of God. Why is a man who possesses lively faith capable of working all kinds of miracles and of being in some respect a god for nature? Because he is in the image of God, because through faith he is one spirit with the Lord. Why did God send his Son to be the Savior of the world and deliver him unto death for the sins of men? Because men are the image of God. Why are such unspeakable promises and blessings given unto men that eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him? 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter 9th verse. Oh, because they are the image of God. What respect we ought to have for men. What hope Christians ought to have. Friends of my God, set your attention on things above. Corinthians 3:2. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. St. Luke 22nd chapter 61 and 62 verses. And even now, when the Lord looks upon us, we weep bitterly over our sins. Yes, our tears during prayer mean that the Lord has looked upon us with his gaze and gives lives to everything and tries the heart and reins. Oh, the soul is sometimes enlarged and ensnared by sins, like a bird in a net. We do not sometimes see any outlet from our sins, and they torment us. The heart sometimes feels terribly anxious and sorrowful on account of them. But Jesus looks upon us, and streams of tears flow from our eyes, and with the tears all the tissue of evil in our soul vanishes. We weep and rejoice that such mercy has been suddenly and unexpectedly sent to us. That warmth we then feel in our heart, and what lightness, as though we could fly up to the Lord God himself. I thank the Lord with all my heart for the freely forgiving all my sins. Jesus Christ, when distributing food, first looked up to heaven, then thanked, blessed it, and only afterwards broke the bread and distributed it. The Apostle Paul did the same on board ship. So ought we also to thank God for our food and to drink, and as well as for all material blessings, but especially for all spiritual ones. The Holy Ghost is the treasury of all blessings of the spiritual riches. Look, with what wonderful riches the soul in which the Holy Ghost dwells are endowed. With what light of knowledge, with what fragrance of virtues, the soul of a righteous man is the most rich spiritual treasury. Such were, for instance, the souls of the Apostle Paul, Peter, John, of the prelates, St. John Chrysostom, St. Basil the Great, St. Gregory the Theologian. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. St. Luke 6, chapter 46, verse. This is where the true treasure is. It is not what the world values. If you wish to contemplate Christian hope and know its grandeur, read the church prayers. Follow closely the Christian divine services, especially the Sunday and festival ones. There you will find the infinite riches of blessings promised to believers. The spiritual man is absorbed both with mind and heart in the contemplation of God and finds in him a treasure of knowledge and wisdom, of righteousness, peace, and joy, and of the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. Whilst the carnal man is engrossed in the adulterous and sinful world, or in material nature, not seeing God in it, and seeking in it food for his earthly short-sighted intellect, for his self-love and pride. But blessed are the poor in heart. St. Matthew 5th chapter 8th verse. Cleanse your heart and hope for union with God in the life everlasting. When prayers strive above all things after fervor and spirit, after fervor and sincere repentance for your sins. Ananias, Azarias, and Michael, the prophet Daniel, before the appearance of the archangel, the wise thief. A priest is the servant of God, invested with his authority and power in the sacrament of penitence. The blessing of the priest is a power of the cross. With sincere Christian prayer is continual because we continually sin. Gratitude is perpetual because every day, every moment, we receive fresh mercies from God, beside the old mercies which are numberless. Praise is also perpetual because we perpetually see the glory of our God's work in ourselves and in the world, especially the glory of our God's work in ourselves and in the world, especially the glory of his infinite love for us. The Lord is with us in the most sorrowful, inconsolable moments. I am with him in trouble. Whilst we think that it is not so, that God has forsaken us. Oh, what unspeakable power our God has over our hearts. Even our mothers cannot entirely draw out our hearts to their love, but the Lord draws them to him by means of his holy mysteries and prayers. There is a hope of reward for good deeds. Christ is your reward in heaven. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Let thy merciful kindness, O Lord, be upon us, like as we do put our trust in thee. Respect yourself in the image of God. Remember that this image is a spiritual one, and be zealous after the fulfillment of God's commandments, which reestablishes God's likeness in you. Be most careful not to break the least of God's commandments. Such a violation would destroy your likeness in God and would bring you near to the likeness of the devil. The more you transgress God's commandments, the more you will grow like unto the devil. Learn to subdue your heart, to stifle your passions. by the power of the name of the Lord and by your own will. At the time when you chiefly suffer from the outburst of self-love, when you feel ready to strike everyone and break everything. I have a teacher who gives me life. Every word of his is the word of life and is therefore truth. I believe him in everything, and all that is contrary to his word, either in my thoughts and heart or in what I hear from other people, I do not believe and look upon as falsehood and death to my soul. The Most Holy Spirit of the grace of the Father gives life to entire and earthly creation. We see that everything material perishes, beginning with food and clothing. We also notice the sense corrupt both the soul and body. This ought to receive in us the hope of the incorruptible and unchangeable. You who feed yourself in dainties, you who are vain of dress, houses, riches, what are you doing? Are you playing with soap bubbles? Everything that breathes, breathes by air and cannot live without air. Similarly, all reasonable, free creatures live by the Holy Spirit, as though by air, and cannot live without him. Every soul is quickened by the Holy Ghost. Recognize that the Holy Ghost stands in the same relation to your soul as air stands in relation to your body. During the night, our soul is free from worldly vanities, and therefore the spiritual world can act upon it more freely, and it is free to receive spiritual impressions, so that if a man is a righteous one, his thoughts and the inclinations of his heart are the thoughts and inclinations of the Lord himself, or of the angels and saints. While if he is an unrepentant sinner, they are the thoughts and inclinations of the devil himself. The wonder-working image of the Savior is the Lord himself depicted upon it. I weep bitterly and as though involuntarily. By the grace abundantly poured upon me from it, I shed streams of tears which cleanse my soul from sins and bring peace and joy into my heart. The devil is in the habit of attacking us when we are in straitened circumstances. If any thought is life to the heart, then it is truth. If, on the contrary, it is anguish and death to the heart, then it is a lie. Our Lord is peace and life, and he dwells in our hearts by peace and life. What not the Christians who look for eternal peace and joy in heaven to courageously and joyfully bear all sorrows, labor, sickness, and injustices, all sufferings, all unpleasantnesses? In truth, he ought. Otherwise, what would be the meaning of the future rest and peace? What peace and rest shall there be for him who has already had peace and rest here, without enduring anything? Where would God's justice be? We must, through much tribulation, entered into the kingdom of God. Acts 14, chapter 22. The character of our outer life is constant expectation of God's goal from this life to the other. We are not our own. We are the servants of God, as the church so rich rightly cause us and servants ought to hourly await their Lord's call. He will knock and you must go, that they may open unto him immediately. St. Luke 12, chapter 36, verse. But meanwhile, how do we live? We have entirely forgotten that we are the servants of God. We think that we belong to ourselves and order our lives not in accordance with God's commandments, but in accordance with our own will. We live as we like, and it is owing to this that our life is full of numberless sins. Look upon human life and you will see that it is full of vanity and of vanities. All is vanity. Fashions, theaters, card playing, dancing, parties, masquerades, luxurious furniture, pictures, and so on. Everything for ourselves and nothing for our neighbor. We may go naked or die from hunger, and he may go naked or die from hunger and cold. Contemptible creation touches the Creator. Therefore, do not dare to speak the following words or any similar to them. I dislike that man's face, though he may perhaps be a good man. For this is diabolical hatred of God's creature and odiousness. Remember that every man is an image of God, and that all his glory is within him, in his heart. Man looks upon the face, whilst God looks upon the heart. Call to remembrance oftener that the evil lies in yourselves and not in other people. By such a conviction, which is a perfectly true one, you will protect yourself from many sins and passions. Our greatest misfortune lies in the fact that we ascribe our own evil to others. God's saints are great merchants who have enriched themselves with all the spiritual treasure, with all the virtues, meekness, humility, abstinence, patience, great faith, hope, and love. This is why we ask of the holy prayers as poor men of rich, that they may help us in our spiritual poverty, that they may teach us how to pray and do progress in all Christian virtues, that they, having boldness before God, may pray for the remission of our past sins and protect us from fresh ones. We go to the earthly merchants and their shops to buy their merchandise. Shall we not have recourse to the heavenly merchants with fervent prayer, as though with silver and gold? Shall we not purchase of them their intercession for us before God for the forgiveness of sins and for the bestowal of various Christian virtues? It seems very natural to do so. Why should we thank God and good, charitable persons for everything, chiefly for our own profit, in order that the feeding of our soul should be more tender and finer, to cultivate the feeling of our dependence in all things from God and good men, and of grateful love towards them, as well as the feeling of our own nothingness without God, and of our own impotency to live without the help of kind people? When reprimanding your subordinates for their faults, carefully restrain yourself from anger, irritation, and disturbance, and be gentle, full of love, dignified, and quiet. If the subordinate to you have to correct takes offenses, greatly observe to him that you have no intentions of offending and irritating him, that you sincerely wish him well, and that he should be orderly in his work, and that it is not him that you are annoyed with, but the disorder that he occasions. Do not offend his pride and dignity by exalting yourself in his eyes and lowering him. If you have this weakness, pride yourself, better leave the correction of another and first cure yourself. First cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then shall thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. St. Matthew 7, chapter 5th verse. In the opposite case, you will only irritate your brother and not do him any moral good. Be gentle and indulge to others when you hear of their faults, remembering that you too have similar and greater faults. You reprove another, for instance, for drunkenness, but if you drink yourself, or even if you do not drink, but indulge yourself with dainties, are given to gluttony, surfeiting them, you sin as much as he does. Correct yourself of your gluttony, and then you will be able to speak strongly against drunkenness of others. You accuse others of negligence in his service, but perhaps you yourself are also negligent. Physician, heal thyself. St. Luke, chapter 23rd verse. Do not bear malice in your heart against anyone on account of anything. Do not despise anyone for any reason. Have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4th chapter 8th verse. If you meet with inattention or even disdain from strangers, do not be hurt or take offense at it, but say to yourself, I am worthy of this. Glory to thee, my God, that thou hast granted unto me an unworthy one to receive this honor from men like unto myself. And your part always show love to all, especially to your relations, sincerely, zealously, heartily, loudly, not coldly and languidly, hypocritically, reluctantly, as if in a whisper. Do not eat to satiety. Do not sleep to excess. Labor zealously. Pray with your whole heart. Be entirely obedient to your parents and superiors. Wish everyone well. Be satisfied with all, and you will be satisfied with yourself, healthy and happy. The life of a Christian should be continual watchfulness over himself, that is, over his heart, because the invisible enemies are ready to devour us at every moment. Every moment they boil with rage against us. You who during this present life so avoid suffering for your body and sorrows for your soul, you who cherish your flesh and make happy your soul, why do you not strive to avoid the eternal fire that is 1,000 times more terrible than the earthly element fire? Why do you not strive to avoid external sorrows? Poor creatures, turn and be converted. Truly, that fire will be unbearable. It is only for the adornment of your dwelling as a beautiful place of furniture or an ornament that you hang up richly painted icons in your house without turning to them with the hearty faith, love, and reverence due to holy things. As your heart, ask your heart if it is so. Icons in houses or in the temples are not intended to show, for show, but for prayer before them, for reverence, for instruction. The images of the saints ought to be in our home and church, teachers, read their lives and engrave them into your heart and endeavor to bring your life into conformity with theirs. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We ought to have all things in common, as the sun, the air, fire, water, and earth are common to us all. So ought also in part food and drink, money, books, and in general all the Lord's gifts to be shared in common, for they are given in common to all, and yet are easily divisible for distribution amongst many. For we have nothing of our own, but everything belongs to God. And it is not just for the rich to keep their superfluity in their treasuries, when there are so many people in need of the means of existence, of necessary clothing and dwellings. However, it is just that the laborers should enjoy abundance, and that the idle should endure poverty and misery. Therefore, if we know that some are poor only through their own idleness and laziness, with such we are not obliged to share the abundance earned by our labor. If any would not work, says the Apostle Paul, neither should he eat. But the crying poverty arising from old age, exhaustion, from sickness, from fruitless and badly paid labor, from really difficult conditions of life, from a numerous family, from bad harvest, we must always hasten to help, especially those of us who are rich. We must be guided by the history of the times of the apostles, by the examples of the early church, with the words of your heart. All things are possible to him that believeth. Strive after everything good and praiseworthy. Whatever the good work you have intention of doing, always have faith. Preserve by every means simplicity of heart, simplicity of faith, hope and love and meekness, humility and gentleness. Every good comes from God, and God is every good for us. This is the simplicity of faith, hope and love. We ought to lay down our lives for the Lord and our neighbor, and not spare them. But meanwhile, we grudge even food, drink, clothing, dwelling, money, books, and other things. This earthly dross, our crafty and evil flesh, sinks after the smallest pretext for self-love, greediness, and even grasping. What a beautiful, tranquilizing, and safe thing it is to forgive the sins of those who trespass against us or offend us. As soon as we forgive, we feel at peace. You were offended. What of it? It is right that your old carnal man should be afflicted. He who is self-loving, proud, irritable, envious, lazy, avarice, and who so greatly offends God, so greatly offends God. It is well that it should be measured to him even a little, as he measures unto God. Is not the sun that shines? Is it the Lord who shines? by His incomparable goodness, His unspeakable light. If He has given so much light to the Son, then certainly He Himself has infinitely more. If He has given so much light to the Son, then in the life to come, He will certainly give incomparably more light to the righteous. And this Son is nothing in comparison to the reasonable human soul. Thus, if the material created light shines so dazingly, then how will the primary, true, uncreated light, God Himself, shine? There is an analogy between the material world, beginning with the sun down to the smallest blade of grass, and the spiritual world. When your brother sins against you in any way, for instance, if he speaks ill of you or transmits with an evil intention your words in a perverted form to another or calumniates you, do not be angered against him, but seek to find in him those good qualities which undoubtedly exist in every man, and dwell lovingly on them, despising his evil calumnies concerning you, as draws not worse attention, as an illusion of the devil. The gold digger, do not pay any attention to the quantity of sand and dirt in the gold dust, but only look for the grains of gold, and though they are but few, they value this small quantity and wash it out of heaps of useless sand. God acts in the like manner with us, cleansing us with great and long forbearance. He has made Himself to be sin for us, who knew no sin. It is said of Christ that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 21st verse. Will you be ashamed after this to not acknowledge any of your sins, whatever they may be, or to take upon yourself the blame of sins which you have not committed? If the Son of God Himself was made guilty of sin, though He was sinless, then you too must accept blame for all sins with meekness and love, for you are really sinful of all sins, and accept the blame humbly and submissively, even for those sins of which you are not guilty. Amen.